It's Tuesdays with Tom. Tom Skilling, brought to you by Permaseal Basement Systems. And it looks like it's going to get hot.
You know what, Ro? Let me qualify that. It is going to get warm. We're going to be up flirting with 90. But, you know, this is kind of a nice hot spell because we're going to do it without all the humidity we normally get with that. So the humidity doesn't really take off till later Friday and into the weekend, and then we could pop a thunderstorm. But we'll be up close to 90 in some areas, even tomorrow, Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, we got to be up to or just above 90 away from the lake. And it will do it with like mid-50 dew points, which translates to a pretty comfortable air mass in terms of humidity. So this is not your conventional June heat wave with, you know, gobs of humidity, where you walk out of a air-conditioned room and you feel like you hit a wall, you know, when you hit all that humidity outside.
Right.
It's a nice way to warm up.
Yes, and that's the best kind of summer. That's what I'm talking about, Tom. I've been asking for this. I've been ordering this from you, and you finally delivered it. It was one of those, it's hot. You know it's hot. You get to go, hey, it's 90 degrees outside, but you don't feel like you can't walk a block or you're dying, you know, that's like, and you're like completely sweaty. It's a dry heat, as they say.
There's one other thing, too. We're going to have a breeze off the lake, and it'll be localized. It'll only be affecting that area near the shoreline, downtown, and, you know, within a mile or two of the lakefront. So there'll be air conditioning going on there. So, you know, I mean, this is really a pretty okay affair, and lots of sunshine until, you know, we get those clouds to build some later Friday, but more so over the weekend. So it's not bad.
I hate to be this guy, but, you know, I've got a garden now, and, you know, we could use the rain.
I know.
I mean, I used to hear people call you and say this to you, you know, and I never understood it. Well, we could really use it. Of course, the farmers, you know, need that as well. And now I'm kind of in that whole thing. I got a straw hat. I've got a hoe. I got all kinds of things.
You're a green thumb now, you know. You know, I talk about Bill Snyder, my producer, Heat Gardens, and he comes in with these little baskets of cherry tomatoes and all, which are, you know, I mean, there's nothing like tomatoes or vegetables out of a garden. But he, you know, watches the rain. Is it, you know, Ro, isn't it incredible? Here we've got fields underwater 3 weeks ago. And now here we are, you know, the rate of evaporation this time of the year, you lose about an inch and a half of water to evaporation every week. So you got to keep the rains going in these high-intensity sunlight periods or you get dry fast. And here we are drying out. It's pretty amazing.
So
what a contrast.
Are we concerned that we could be heading into a problem here?
Oh, gosh. You know what? There's always a period, as you get to the pollination period for crops, you know, where corn, for instance, tassels out in July. I've learned this from Max and Orion. You know, you need rain in that period to pollinate the corn so the ears fill out. And it seems like every year that's kind of the hottest part of the year in the area where you may run a more scattered showers. You don't get the widespread rains you got earlier in the season. So you can get into some degree of trouble. The thinking on the summer as a whole is that we'll probably trend a little above average, but precipitation is such a variable commodity that, you know, you always run into a period where you're challenged with lack of rain, no matter how good the rain season has been. So we'll see. It's not a done deal that we've got, you know, an extended period of drought coming up or anything like that.
Yeah, so, well, don't even say the word. You know what? You just dropped the D word. Take that back. That's not what we're talking about. This is Chicago. This is the upper Midwest. This is Illinois and Wisconsin and Indiana, Michigan, this whole Great Lakes corner. You never know what's going to happen. You never, ever know.
Well, you want to hear something really strange. You know, they're going to get 8 inches of snow above the 6,500-foot level in western Montana. They have winter storm watches out there, and they're on the cool side of the spectrum. So as we head toward 90, the west is running unseasonably cool, and it's going to snow at the higher elevations up by Yellowstone Park and the Grand Tetons in Wyoming and even northern Idaho, but mainly in the mountainous areas. And they're high up there. You know, the elevation's high. So they're the first ones to get snow in the fall and late summer sometimes. And they're the last ones to see the snow leave in the summer months. But by and large, we're getting warmer here, so that's good.
Well, it is good. And it's been a beautiful, I don't want to talk about this on the other side of the break, but it has been a beautiful 2020 meteorologically. It has been an absolute disaster in every other form. But when we looked at the skies, the summer here so far has been, you know, 16 days of it so far have been very nice. We did have some rain in the spring, but you know, more interesting, more spring-like spring for Chicago than we normally get. The winter was mild. I mean, I know there's a yin and yang to all of this. You know, there's all these horrible things that are going on. Back with Tom Skilling. We're talking about the weather. Tom, you can see, of course, on the WGN-TV News starting at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. It's Tom at 10. That's the way that it gets marketed, my friends. And this is Tuesdays with Tom. So thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it. All right. So we're talking about the general summer being nice so far. The year 2020 meteorologically has been nice so far, despite everything else that is going on. Yeah. Does that trend continue?
You know what? We've had our ups and downs. And let me give you just a recent example. The weekend was more like a late April weekend than a June weekend. And yet June opened as one of the warmest open to a June in over half a century. You have to go back to the 1960s. So we've watched both ends of the extremes work out here. What's happening more and more is you buckle these jet streams, even in summer. And when you buckle a jet stream, that means somebody's going to get real warm and somebody's going to get real cool. We're going to start getting the warm end of this buckling on this latest amplified or wavy jet stream pattern, while the West gets unseasonably cool and they're kind of cool in the East. But you know, there's every reason to believe that we're going to kind of flip-flop from one extreme to the other. But when all is said and done and the final, pages, the book is closed on the summer, it will probably have averaged above average on temperature and maybe slightly above average on precip. Precipitation, the least forecastable of the variables. But, you know, we're looking at our active hurricane season, the Atlantic Basin, and yet there's dust pouring off Africa is going to reach the Gulf Coast states by next week, and that's a common occurrence in June and July, and that tends to thwart tropical development, so we'll see how that factors into what's going on. But usually it lets up by August when the hurricanes start down there. And then you've got drought in the Southwest. They've got fires burning in Arizona that closed some roads in Arizona outside of Phoenix. So, you know, it's a study in extremes that are going on, and it generally is.
Let me ask you about the hurricane season, because it was predicted to be an active hurricane season.
Yeah.
And that does affect us up here in a really significant way. We just saw it, as a matter of fact, last week when that tropical depression swept right up the Mississippi River Valley right toward us.
Cristobal,
Is this going to be still a heavy season, or is this phenomenon you're talking about going to change that?
So a lot of weird things going on. But in terms of the hurricane season, the systems coming off Africa have been wet. The ocean temperatures are elevated, and there's a cooling of the equatorial Pacific waters west of something called a La Nina. And when that happens, that tends to increase hurricanes in the Atlantic Basin because it changes the upper wind flow over the basin and doesn't rip these storms apart as they're trying to form. So the forecast still stands. 21 agencies put out a hurricane forecast, and every one of them has come in above normal. Now, we'll see if that works and how this dust figures into it in the long term.
Wow.
But it's usually a deterrent only in the first couple of months of the summer season. And when you get into hurricane prime time, that tends not to be as widespread, the dust coming off Africa.
I know, Tom, you've got all these computers and you've got all this modern science and satellites and all these things, but I think maybe you should consult your Bible on the weather, because it seems to me that we are going through, we got the plague, we got some pestilence, we got locusts, right? It's like raining weird things when it rains, right?
I mean,
things are coming out of the atmosphere. I don't know. I'm just starting to think that, maybe this is like a, you know, maybe a 3,000-year cycle, something like that, that we're in the middle of. I don't know.
You know, it's a point that's been made to me on social media. People say, what's next, an asteroid strike? And by the way, that's not predicted.
Okay, thank you. Anybody. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, because some people hear, well, did he say an asteroid strike? And no, it's not being predicted. But you know, you do wonder. It does seem like there's a lot going on. And a lot of it is we can see a lot of the stuff that's happening instantaneously with the communication technology we've got these days. But there are that things out of the ordinary happening. And it does,
yes, it does
make you wonder.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Well, I am working on an ark on my patio right now.
And
I don't know. Anything could happen now. And my neighbors don't like all the construction and the debris. But I'm telling you, they're really not going to like it when I bring the animals in. But that's a separate
thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
And not only that, we don't want anything to happen to that that carefully managed garden of yours.
That's right.
So I know.
I've got my friends at Architech who are actually doing the ARC with me. So it's funny because their name is Architech. That's how I'm going to do it. All right, So the hurricane season, you know, still sort of up in the air. But as we look ahead throughout the summer, because I know that you guys will get long range forecasts a couple weeks from now, we're heading into the long weekend, the 4th of July. As you look ahead here, fairly normal weather patterns.
You know what? As we look at it, we get daily 2-week projections off a whole host of models, and they're pretty consistent in suggesting, for instance, we've got the warm up later this week. Then it cools off early next week, and there's signs that we warm back up again later next week. So there are ups and downs, but at this point, we don't see 100 degree heat. It may be there, but we're not seeing it yet. In any of the next 2 weeks, the two-week forecast. And it looks like the ups will balance the downs. And when all is said and done, we may slightly skew on the above normal side, which has been kind of the expectation for the summer. So, yeah, what are you going to say about that? It looks pretty typical summer here.
Great. I mean, that's what we're looking for. As long as we have one. As you know, there have been some summers here, the last couple that were kind of cooler than normal and
they were.
A little wetter than normal. It didn't feel like a summer, and this one absolutely does. Trees have come in beautifully, despite the fact that I was worried that I was going to... I told you a couple of weeks ago when we had that freeze right at the end of... It was more
right.
than that. Like at the end of April, and I was worried that the trees were not going to have leaves, as I am every single year, Tom, that they came in. Although, I will point out the one tree that I was most worried about, and I don't know when I became an arborist, but I did. There's still a little bit of damage at the very tippity top of the tree. And at the very tippity top of the leaf, whatever that leaf complex is, and I was pointing it out to my daughter, and I'm like, "See, I'm not as crazy as you think I am." And then she looked at me and she goes, "Dad, you absolutely are."
Well, you know, I know I hear from fruit farmers who worry terribly about, you know, what's going to happen to their trees with these late season frosts and all. And legitimately, there's been serious damage done over the years by some of these late frosts. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
You know, it always seems we face something. I'll tell you one thing, though. Thank God we didn't have the kind of planting season that we put our farmers through last year. You know, the last thing we need now are massive crop failures, and we still have wet soils in some areas. We're drying out now. We don't need to subject our farmers to that, you know?
No. Although I have noticed, and I don't know what this is related to, but I have noticed this, that the fruit produce in the store is not up to where it would normally be in terms of the quality of this time in June. You know, you start to really get, you know, good fruit product stuff that was coming out of the Midwest. Not quite there yet. Or the South. Stuff that's not coming from Central America or South America, because in the winter, that's where we're getting it from. And we tend to get it, you know, it's a lot of it is frozen and all of that. But the crop now, it doesn't seem to be that great. Although things that are a little bit, you know, more vegetably, this might be crazy talk on my part, but I'm sure there are other people who've noticed this as well. Vegetables seem to be okay, but the fruits, not so great. And I don't know what that's all about.
Well, that's an interesting observation. I'll be honest with you. You know, since I've had the surgery, I'm eating less, and it's highly, you know, I don't know, I get assistance in preparing these meals. From Pat Butkus, who's a wonderful woman, and I thank God, because I am not a nutritionist. You got to be very careful after these surgeries what you eat. So I've not been at the...
Can you have fruits and vegetables? Probably not. Probably shoots right through you. I hate to say it like that, but it probably does.
No, you know what? I'll tell you, I've started working into that. It's one of the things that's been going on since the surgery. I've been getting used to what the stomach will handle and what it can't yet. You do have to be careful. But you're right. I'm not eating the same amount, and I haven't been to the supermarket with the frequency that I would normally have been. So I find your observations very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
on
curious.
Something. Maybe next week, Tom, we can. I'll have a full investigation.
Yeah.
I'll get Ben Bradley on it, or Lourdes, or somebody, and I'll make them go out to the store and take a look at everything and decide whether or not I'm crazy or not. But that's already a foregone conclusion. Tom Skilling, you can see him on the WGN-TV weather starting at 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock tonight and throughout the week. Thank you, Tom.
Ro, a pleasure. Good to talk to you, my friend.